came from outer space to fill the world with terror, to bring you unforgettable suspense.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it.
Shock Tale with Johnny Thunder.
I'm Uncle Bad Touch, and he's BJ the Clown, a.k.a. Johnny Thunderpants.
Cheers, genius.
Hey, Dink. Hold on a second. There you go.
So, have you stopped puking since St. Louis, since Transworld?
You know, it's odd that once I leave, when I enter your company, I'm puking all over the place, and when I leave, I'm not.
Well, see, my belly has...
A little odd, don't you think?
Yeah, my belly has, like, a gravitational pull. So it's sort of, like, it affects, you know, like the tides of the moon and shit. You know what I mean? It kind of has an effect on other people. Yeah, dude, I mean, I loved... But, all right, so everybody, back up. But we've already told these stories online by now, you know, because we're so far removed from Transworld, but...
But if they're like me, they don't read, so...
Or they read and don't remember. Oh, but I love... Dude, I love, by the way... Did you send me an outline this month? I've sent you an outline 6 times. Yeah, can you send me an outline this month? Okay, I'll send it again, Uncle Bad Touch. Yeah, so we're a trans world, and I don't know, like, dude, one of my favorite bars on the strip there by the convention center, what's it called, the Over Under or Under? But it was, like, right down the street. Like, dude, so every year, every time we go there, I'd go down, like, for lunchtime, have a couple beers, get a chicken sandwich, watch March Madness, and just hang out, nice sports bar. So we go there the one night, right? What was it, Friday night, the first night we're in town. And, you know, we're sitting down, me and Rev and you, the genius, are sitting there. And you know, we sit down, we order drinks, you get up, you go, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, here we go. And he goes, he pisses, comes back. Okay, whatever, sits down, we order. I'll be right back. All right, he's up, he's back, he's whatever. By the 7th visit to the bathroom, Mr. Christian Baker is accompanied by the manager of the restaurant back to the table. And I look up, and Chris, of course, is stumbling back to the table, and the manager goes, you gotta leave. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I didn't even get to eat my waffle fries, and I had, like, buffalo chicken waffle fries or some fucking thing, right? So I look at you, and I'm like, what's going on? And you're like, I was like, no, what, Chris, what happened? And you're like, of course, then you throw this fistful of money on the table. I'm like, all right, well, at least dinner's covered, you know? He's got that Hauntcast FU money. And I look at you, I go, dude, what happened? And you're like, wow, you know, like the, I went to the bathroom like 7 or 8 times. I'm like, okay. And you're like, yeah, like the first 3 or 4 times, yeah, I got, you're like in the stall. I go, okay. And you're like, you know, I puked. And I go, okay, at least it's not on your arm. All over your arm or your jeans this time. And you're like, yeah, and then like when I went back on like my 5th time, they had it cordoned off with like belief tape. And then you know, it said don't enter. So I was like, so what'd you do? You use a garbage can? Nah, like the urinal. I'm like, what? I was puking in the urinal. I'm sorry,
dude.
Did you also chew on the blue breath mint that's in the urinal while you're in there? No, what do you mean? I'm like, no, Chris, that's a joke. You're completely hammering.
You all right? Are you okay? Do you need a doctor?
Mm-mm. He's fine. He's good.
You sure?
I'm good.
Perfect.
So apparently, genius, after you destroyed the stall.
After I puked in the stall about 4 or 5 times.
4 or 5 times.
They police taped the
stall. They police taped it off. And then, dude, you decide to go back and use the urinal as your puker. You're puking in a fucking urinal.
I was blowing waffle fries. Mashed up waffle fries
waffle
into the
fries
urinal.
And hamburger all over. You can take the boy out of Southie Beach. You can't take the Southie
dude,
out
was,
of the boy.
I was hammered, but I do remember there was one time taking a piss, and I
puking?
I busted the door. and I looked at the stall and there was tape on it, and I was like, oh no. And I like the guy was the guy's looking at me as I'm blowing lunches into the end.
What is wrong with you?
Dude, it's a, know why? Because I get there and I try to keep up drink for drink, beer for beer with a guy who's got about 3 feet and about 100 pounds on me.
There you
and
go.
And I'm like, you know, that's not a good, that's not a recipe for a stamina or anything like that. Holy shit.
I but got, it's, com- I got, it's comedy radio gold.
I got tears Thank coming you. Down my f- cheeks right now. Yes, absolutely. By the way,
I could never go back the rest of the weekend. And I was so hungry for one of those sandwiches. I was like, can I finish my waffle fries? And the waitress is like, no, you guys gotta go.
They should have just kicked me out. You and Pat didn't technically have to go.
No.
And dude,
no.
I think I gave him a huge tip on to boot to like make up for my puke.
Honestly, I think you did. I think you left like 120%.
I think I threw down a shitload of money. I remember you going like, what are you doing? And I'm like, they deserve it. As I blew lunch on the stool.
It was the worst. Then, of course, we go right to the Wren Hotel and start drinking right again.
And then I immediately get shut off by Jen, the bartender.
Oh, that's right. And she shut you off, dude.
That's when one of the Bloodshed brothers, I think it was Zach, maybe?
Sure.
Came in with his girlfriend, and then
Zach or me.
And Spencer Carter was there, and I was just like all shit face, like and then I was cut off, so I bought them shots. I couldn't even have a shot with them, and then I was like chewing Spencer Carter's air off for like a half hour.
Yeah, Jen says she didn't cut you off. She paced you. She helped.
No,
you
pace. I told her the next day.
And I get a beer, and you knock over like three drinks, and I was like. I grabbed mine.
I told her the next day. I said, shutting me off was the best thing that you did. It was. I said, I appreciate. I love you. I go, you did the right thing. I would have shut me off. Who is Shock Tales brought to you? The fans buy this. I mean, who's this sponsoring month, this foolishness?
Yes, this month my drunken lunacy is once again brought to you by my old standby, Victory Dirt Wolf Double IPA. And what about you, genius?
Hey, this month Shock Tales is brought to you by Hoptimus Prime. This double IPA with 9% alcohol by volume will transform you from a soft-spoken fancy lad into a C-word-dropping foul-mouthed masshole that randomly punches strangers in the face. Hoptimus Prime, thankfully not brought to you by my favorite director, Michael Bay.
Wow. That was a lot of reference. You know what? If you're a longtime listener, go back and listen to that. There's a lot of inside references there. So, you know what, dude? Kudos to you, genius. I'm actually proud of you at this time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Usually you try to think and nothing happens. But hey, everybody, welcome back to the last bar on the left. My name is Johnny Thunder, and we are serving up Shock Tales.
Another round.
Oh, my God. What? What kind of show is this? That's right. It's a knuckle dragon.
You are a meathead, sir.
It's a meathead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are these meatheads? I'll tell you who these meatheads are. These meatheads are going to serve up. Couple movie reviews this time around. I'm just going to do three. How about one, a two, a three?
Three
movie reviews. All right, the first one, genius. I think you saw a couple of these, which is unfortunate. But anyway, all right, so the first movie is called Backcountry, written and directed by Adam McDonald, starring Missy Peregrim, Jeff Roop, and a little cameo by Eric Balfour.
Give Backcountry ego tours. Sure you don't need a guide?
I already have one.
Lucky man, Alex.
Why don't you buy him the house next time?
I said I'm sorry. All good?
Yeah.
Alex?
I don't understand.
This can't be it, right? Can you look at me, please?
Just let me think. Just let me think. Let me think.
We don't have a map. We don't have a cell phone. We are in the middle of nowhere.
What is that?
Oh, that's acorns. Falling from the trees on a dent. That's an acorn.
Now, this flick is about an urban couple who go camping in the Canadian wilderness, and the dude, Alex, is a seasoned outdoorsman, while his girlfriend, Jen, is not. She's never been out in the country. She doesn't go camping. She's not into this whole thing. Anyway, so after much convincing and against her better judgment, she agrees to let her boyfriend take her deep into the park of one of his favorite spots, the secluded, like, Blackfoot Trail or whatever. So they go out, they're camping, you know, it's sort of a character-driven piece. And the first night in the woods, they come across this little unsettling encounter with this guy, Brad, who's played by Alec Balfour. And they're not sure what to make of him, and it's a little weird. So they decide to push further and push further out into the woods. They keep traveling, and suddenly they realize that they're completely lost. They have no idea where they are. They don't know where they're going. And simultaneously, they realize they're being followed by something or someone. What that is, we're not sure.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. And then it turns into a tale of survival as the couple tries to make their way out of the wilderness back to civilization. What I thought was interesting about this film, and when I say something or someone, you're not really ever sure, is it this weird other camper they meet? Is it a supernatural presence a la, you know, Blair Witch? Is it a natural threat? Is it a human threat? You don't know. So this one is a little bit offbeat. It's a smaller independent film, and I would say I dug it overall. I thought the cinematography was really, really beautiful. You have a lot of shots that really exemplify the idea of being lost in the wilderness. You get a sense of the oppression of the woods and the scope, the sheer magnitude of, you know, being lost in a national park and being out there on your own. A lot of people, I think, might have a problem. I don't necessarily want to spoil it. But might have an issue with what is the ultimate threat. But to me, it worked. I actually liked it. I thought it was a little bit offbeat. It wasn't exactly what I was expecting. And again, when I mentioned the three actors, pretty much just the two of them are the entire film. So you have to invest in these two as characters. You have to invest in them as actors. And I thought they did a great job. As I said, it looks beautiful. It's down and dirty. It's very visceral. And I think you can do a lot worse. I dug it. I thought it was a good survival film. I thought the lead actress, Missy Peregrine, was very likable. I really was rooting for her. I wanted her as the final girl to make it out of the situation. And as I said, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but again, you know, you're thinking, is it a serial killer? Is it a supernatural menace? You know, you're not sure. And when it's revealed, given where I grew up and given where I camp, it's an all too real threat. And I dug it. So I would say check this out if you see it anywhere. All right, moving on. Let's stay in the vein of natural born killers, shall we? Zombievers. Okay, that's apparently a movie. That's a thing. Did you know that, apparently?
Here we are. Home sweet home. Woo! Make it rain, bitches.
What is that? Looks like a beaver dam.
Let's go take a look.
You girls from out of town?
We're staying over there at my cousin's place. We were looking for beavers.
Well, hell, ain't we all?
I've had enough excitement for one day. What was that? Someone in there?
There's a beaver in the bathroom! Kill it!
Yuck. Can we please go swimming now? Ever occurred to any of you that there might be more beavers?
Rated R for horror, violence, and gore. Crude. Here we go, everybody. All of our haters. Crude sexual content.
And misogynistic gestures.
Graphic nudity.
Antisocial language. Antisocial language.
And inappropriate antisocial messages. All right, so Zombievers is an alleged horror comedy. Everybody keep that in mind as I continue with my review.
The keyword is alleged.
Yes, I hate horror comedy to begin with, but in which a group of college kids staying at a riverside cabin are menaced by a swarm of, yes, deadly zombie beavers. A weekend of sex and debauchery soon turns into...
Do you want to take that from the top? Take that from the top?
No, please, no. We can't. There's no time for foolishness. We don't have time to edit. A weekend of sex and debauchery soon turns gruesome. That's a hard thing to say. As the beavers close in on the kids. God, I hate when that happens. Soon the kids are fighting back for their lives in a desperate attempt to fend off the horde of zombie beavers that attack them in and around their cabin. Now, again, this is funny because last Friday we were texting and shit. And you're like, you know, dude, by the way, I saw zombie beavers. And you had texted to me. You're like, hey, it was over the top, but I can't tell whether it was good, bad, or just bad.
You're here to tell us.
It's just bad. I was really disappointed because, look, we go back to, let's go all the way back. I don't know if it was like the first season of Honkast, but, dude, everyone else hated it. I thought it was a fucking riot. You loved it. Piranha 3D.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, it was panned by most people.
Right.
And whatever.
But funny. And I actually,
it's I thought
funny.
It was great. I thought
and
it was
over the top.
Hilarious, actually.
And intentionally ridiculous. But my problem with this Zombievers was... nothing in it really ever really elevated above one of the bad made for sci-fi films. And again, I said I love over the top, funny, crazy, ridiculous shit. Like, but this, besides the fact that they're saying the F word or there's some nudity or simulated sex, there's really never anything that elevates it above just a typical shitty, you know, Pythorana or shark tarantula attack on the Rocks Part 2 on Sci-Fi Channel. You know what I mean? The effects were terrible. Now, I'm all in favor of either real-life, physical, mechanical effects, or if you're going to go CGI, okay, so be it. But this was an uncomfortable mix of both, and neither really worked. The characters were completely unlikable. And again, it's going to be, well, you know, JT, what are you expecting? It's a movie called Zombievers. You know, it's just going to be a bunch of chicks and their tits and you're getting killed. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's what you want. You want it to be gory. You want there to be nudity. You want it to be ridiculous. But it just wasn't there. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. It wasn't funny. It wasn't over the top enough. Like, if you're going to push this, push it over the top. Go crazy. Okay, now, spoilers. In one scene... I think that at one point, like, the people get infected by the zombie beavers and then they sort of become zombie beaver monsters themselves. So, like, at one point, the girl gives a, let's say, not so good oral sex to another character, much like in Piranha. But in Piranha, it was kind of like, wow, that's kind of funny, and it was sort of unexpected. This was just dumb, and it just, nothing really made me laugh. Nothing really took me there and wanted me to invest in this sort of fun roller coaster of a shit-tastic film. And like I said, it's a fine line between it's so bad, it's funny, and just it's shitty. And to me, this was just shitty. So I can't support this. I didn't dig it. And I would say Zombievers, you know, go suck it. A film that, again, had a marketing campaign which was reminiscent of... Paranormal Activity. When remember Paranormal Activity a few years ago, where it was, you know,
the audience, like, people were diving,
jumping,
into the back
screaming, and the scariest movie, and blah blah blah. So this film, in some of the advertisements and some of the promotion, was called Too Scary. It's a movie that is the scariest movie of the past 10 years. A movie that's revolutionized horror. A movie that you will never forget. Okay, that movie is called It Follows.
You're not going to believe me. And I need you to remember what I'm saying.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you.
Wherever you are, it's somewhere walking straight for you. All you can do is pass it along to someone else.
Written and directed by David Robert Mitchell, starring Makia Monroe, who we remember actually recently from... The Guest. She was the teenage daughter in The Guest. She's also the star of It Follows. Rated R for disturbing, violent, and sexual content, including graphic nudity, which apparently I missed, but apparently there's graphic nudity in the film. And, like, I don't know, graphic nudity, I'm like, okay. And language. The plot revolves around a teenager who, after a seemingly innocent sexual encounter, finds herself plagued by strange visions and the inescapable sense that someone or something is following her. No, it's not a bear, I promise. Faced with this burden...
A bear?
I lost my khakis. Your pants? No, my khakis. I can't sign my cat. Faced with this burden, she and her friends must find a way to escape the horrors that seem to only be a few steps behind her. Now, here's what I'm going to do again. So what can we say about It Follows? All right, so this is an interesting film to me. I went into it trying to avoid knowing too much about it. And again, I hopefully you didn't see the poster to this one, because I'm trying to be vague about this film as well. If you want to see the movie, I would suggest avoiding as much about the movie details as you possibly can. I'll put it this way. Going into it and I was watching it, there's a definite influence and directorial approach that is very much John Carpenter. You're watching this movie, the way that scenes are orchestrated, the way that the camera moves, the way that the actors are set in a scene are very, very reminiscent of John Carpenter in, say, exactly Halloween. The soundtrack, the score, are the same electronic, the same kind of Carpenter-esque soundtracks that you expect from...
Casio keyboard?
Yes, expect from his films, much like we enjoyed in The Guests. And this movie, it's sort of like you have John Carpenter's Halloween, in a sense, mashed up a little bit with Wes Craven's original Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, maybe throw in a couple other flicks in terms of what's going on. But when I was actually watching the movie, it was interesting to me because I thought, is this director aping and just copying and ripping off, say, Carpenter in his approach to direction and setting up a scene and having this the shots and the cinematography? Or is that an homage? Or, you know, how do I feel about the way that this is shot? And, you know, I dug it. But it was a conflict for me watching it, you know, because there were definite scenes where, much like Laurie Strode is sitting in her English poetry class or whatever it was, sitting in class, the teacher's talking, she's looking out the window. That scene is aped pretty much perfectly in this movie. So for a horror buff, a horror historian, you recognize that. For someone who is a 17-year-old kid going into this movie, you go, well, that's really cool, and they have no context, they have no idea what's going on. Does that want them to seek out people like Carpenter? I have no idea. But in any event, taken on its own, I thought that the tone of the film was different. I don't think it's the best movie from the past 10 years. I don't think it's too scary. I don't think that it's going to revolutionize the horror genre by any stretch of the imagination. Now, that being said, the kids were interesting. They're not your typical pretty faces. They're not, you know, sort of this WB version of high school. They're not the 90210 kids from Fox. They're a little more down to earth. They're a little more realistic. They act like real kids. I would say I would check it out because there are some scares, there are some startles, there are definitely scenes where it's unsettling with the score, with the cinematography, with the characters themselves. The ending, don't think about it too hard because it doesn't make sense. If you want to check it out, what the director had to say about the ending after you watch the movie, you can Google it. You can check out some different websites where he gives interviews about why he chose to do what he did and the choices he made as a director and as a writer. So I would say check it out. I dug it. I don't know that it is as good as you've heard. I think it's overhyped, which is a shame because I think it is a good film. All right, dude, so I think we are done. Everybody, thank you for listening. As always, this is Johnny Thunder from The Last Bar on the Left saying, stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary. We'll be right back.